We continue reading in the Word of God, being reminded again of keeping the law and the commandments of God, and we turn to Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home, he is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth through the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. May God bless the reading of His solemn and precious word to our hearts this morning. Our text for this morning is from Proverbs 7. I'll just read verses 4 and 5 at this time. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Together with that, we wish to consider Lord's Day 41 as we continue our series on the Ten Commandments. Lord's Day 41, you can find that on page 78 in the back of your Psalters. Question 108. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? Answer, that all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same, and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Question 109. Hath God forbidden this commandment, only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer. Since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, he commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. Congregation, we've been seeing throughout the series that life in the digital age brings with it many temptations. Arguably the most common, most pervasive, and most powerful temptations fall under the seventh commandment. We often shy away from speaking about the subject of adultery, of sexual sin with one another, and with our children. We find it uncomfortable. But life in the digital age demands that we be equipped to deal with the flood of filth and sensuality that will inevitably find its way into our homes, into our hearts, into our minds, into our midst, if we do not speak about it the way Scripture speaks about it. As parents, we need to be concerned about the online safety of our children. Where are they going? What are they seeing? But even more than that, we need to be speaking to their heart of their great need to be born again, of their great need to walk as Solomon here is instructing his son according to the commands of God, to have a living, vital relationship with wisdom, Christ himself. Life in the digital age demands that we preserve the purity of our children and of ourselves at all costs. Young people, more than ever, you need to guard your heart. You need to guard your eyes and your hands from sins against the seventh commandment. You live in a world in which you're bombarded every day with temptation. But even the older generation is not exempt from this, from the scourge of sexual sin which plagues society. I believe which plagues the church. It pains me to say it. More than any other commandment, it seems, this commandment, when it's broken, causes untold damage to victims, destroys those who plunge into this sin mindlessly, leaves grieving spouses in its rubble, leaves angry children in its wake or caught in the middle, destroys the futures of those who once had bright and promising futures. There's a commandment that has come under attack today. It's this commandment. The question arises, how do we stand against the evil tendencies of our own hearts, against the surge of evil and of uncleanness? How do we preserve our hearts? How do we preserve our marriages, our purity in the digital age? How do we speak to our children? How do we speak to one another on these issues? Well, the answer, as it only can be, is to turn to the Word of God, to heed the instruction of God as He speaks to us through His Word. And He's spoken this morning through Proverbs 7, which sets before us the clear and present danger. of sexual sin. Not just in the Old Testament, not just for Solomon, not just for his son, but for us. The strange woman that he speaks about in verse 5 is nothing but the accumulation of all the sins against the seventh commandment rolled into one person. You could say it's adultery personified in all its ugly forms. What unfolds before us this morning in this chapter is a sad story of death and destruction when it comes to the sins of adultery, breaking the seventh commandment. Sexual sin loves the cover of darkness, partly because of the shame, the humiliation, and the embarrassment and the pain that come as a result of it. But it loves darkness because then it retains its power on the individual who is caught in it. And so we need the light of Scripture to shine brightly into our lives this morning. Whether we're engaged in it or not, Scripture needs to beam into our lives with all its power to shed light on this prevailing sin of our age. Let us heed the wise counsel of God this morning from His Word as it's set before us, as we battle Lady Folly in all her fatal attractiveness. Our theme this morning is simply this: Lady Folly. We want to consider her targets. Secondly, we want to consider her snare. Thirdly, the sorrow that she leaves behind for her targets. And fourthly, the safeguard against her. Who does Lady Folly, adultery personified, who does she target? Notice how Solomon begins this sad story by telling us about a young man. Young people take notice, especially. What is remarkable about him that makes him an easy target for this strange woman? Well, Solomon is relating this story to his son. He's sitting at his window. He looks out through his window, and in verse 6 he sees, or verse 7, he beholds among the simple ones, "I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." This young man is described as a young man void of understanding. If we go back to the first 5 verses of this chapter, Solomon portrays what a young person is who has understanding, who has wisdom. He keeps the commandments of God. He hides the word in his heart. He protects himself. He has a relationship with wisdom, with Christ, who is wisdom. He keeps and he guards himself at all costs. But this young man here is the opposite that Solomon observes from his window. He is simple. He is foolish. He lacks the protection he needs. In a sense, he's throwing himself out there. What does that tell us today? As we traverse the online world, there's much good there. But if we go there without protecting ourselves, without hiding the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds, without having a living relationship with Christ, we are simple. We are like this foolish young man who goes unprotected and puts himself in the way of sin and temptation. If that's how we're living this morning, we're easy pickings for Lady Folly. He was simple and devoid of understanding. Secondly, he was going where he was not supposed to be. Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. His foolishness is expounded further. He goes where he's not supposed to be. He puts himself in the way of temptation. Without any guard over his heart, he has no boundaries for his feet. He wandered aimlessly and idly. He made his way over to her house. This young man is not an innocent target. He becomes a willing target by virtue of his unguarded heart and his behavior, his aimless wandering. Here again is a warning for us this morning. When we wander aimlessly online, drifting closer to the places where we ought not to be, how dangerous it is to fall into temptation and sin. Are we setting boundaries for ourselves, for our eyes, for our hearts, for our hands? Are we going like this young man, going as close as we can to the edge without thinking that we're going to be hurt, without thinking that we're going to fall off? Are we going where we are not supposed to be, as close as we can to our house without being burnt? Scripture is clear. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? It's foolish to go into the way of temptation. Don't think that an innocent look will do no harm. Lingering and loitering never hurt anyone, right? Wrong. Let this young man be a lesson to you. Guard yourself. Keep the commandments of God. Call wisdom your sister, your kinswoman. They will keep you from the strange woman. They will keep your feet from going down to her house. This man is devoid of understanding. He's simple. He's foolish. He's going where he's not supposed to be. And finally, he goes under the cover of night. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Why did he do that? He sought the cover of darkness to cover the darkness of his deeds. Here again is a warning to us this morning. Sins against the seventh commandment love the cover of darkness because that's where they fester, that's where they grow. That's where they remain hidden. They hate being brought out into the light and dealt with and cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, but that's where we need to bring them. Jesus tells Nicodemus in John 3, verse 19, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Are you hiding from God and from others what ought to be in the light this morning? If it remains in darkness, it will grow. It will snowball. It will become larger, more dangerous, more devastating in its effects. Here is a portrait of a young man. Someone who willingly exposes himself to the deadly allure and effects of adultery. He is a young man, and Scripture describes this particular sin, especially in relationship to young people. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. He said, flee also youthful lusts. But it's not only young men, simple young men, who engage in this sin. Notice what Solomon writes in verse 26. Lady folly has also mowed down strong men. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. How true, that's in the digital age as well. It's no longer young men. but also young women, and older men and older women. It's not just the wounded. It's the strong ones who have been targeted by Lady Falling, have fallen and fallen hard and fast. Adultery personified is no respecter of age or gender. We need to be clear about that. Many have fallen in the digital age, surfing the web, with unguarded hearts, aimlessly, without accountability, thinking they were strong enough to withstand the onslaughts of this strange woman, only to find that they've fallen, grievously so. And if that's what we're thinking this morning, you're underestimating your own heart. If left to yourself, you're underestimating the power of Lady Folly and her devices. If this is a portrait of you this morning, you need to repent immediately. You need to bring your sins out from under the cover of darkness to the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need help. Because you're not going to win this alone. And to those of you who think you're strong, who say, this will never be me, this picture will never be me, listen to what Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Because Lady Folly, when she finds an unsuspecting target, a willing target, she will not let you get away. She will ensnare you. That's our second thought this morning, the snare of this strange woman. How does she do it? Well, she has a pervasive and powerful presence about her. In verses 10 through 12, we read, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She's everywhere. She's here and now there and at every corner. That's true of sexual sin and temptation in the digital age as well. No longer do we have to go somewhere physically to go and find filth and smut. It's looking around every corner. It's here and it's there. It's on the billboard. It's on the computer screen, on the smartphone, and sadly, even in real life. She comes in many different forms. She's slain many mindless wanderers. Subtly pushing in her daggers of death. She comes loud and boisterous in your face, presenting herself through various forms of media. Seems that everywhere we go today, Lady Folly has a presence. Her devices are not any different today than they were in the days of Solomon. But we can say this, her presence is enhanced because of technology and social media. And so we need to be doubly vigilant. We need to be doubly on guard against her presence. She has a pervasive presence. She promises love, but only inflames lust. Look at what she does in verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me, This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. She is shameless in her pursuit of this young man. Openly going after him. She shamelessly tells this young man that she's done her religious duties and now she can go and sin again. She's made her offerings. She even takes up the cloak of religion. She makes this young man feel like he's treasured. Therefore, came I forth to meet thee. That's the very reason I made my offerings, so I could meet with you. Diligently to seek your face, to make every effort to find you, and now I have found you. She makes it sound like he's the only one that she's interested in, but behind it all, she hides the ugly facts that this young man is just another in a long list of those who have fallen to her devices. Lady Folly is just as bold in the digital age, isn't she? When she finds someone unguarded, she swoops in boldly, shamelessly, pushes in the dagger again. There's a look, there's lingering. There's the hook and the final blow, and another one falls to pornography or to some other perversion. Thinking that he was special, but not realizing that he's one in a long list of casualties. Adultery personified in all its forms, feasts on our pride. It feasts on our selfishness. That's what we see here. It's so blatant. It tells us that we're the only one that matters. But the opposite is true. Don't believe the lie. You go to Ephesians 5. What do you find there? True love within marriage is sacrificial. That's the love that Christ has displayed for sinners. It wasn't about him. He laid down his life for sinners. And so we are called to love one another sacrificially. Don't believe the lie of the world that it's all about you. Be on guard for her flattery. She covers lust and perversion with what she calls love, but it is not love. It's deadly. It's poison. She promises pleasure and riches. In verses 16 through 18, she says, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. There is a fatal attractiveness, isn't there? It's a sexual sin that Solomon wants us to understand. It comes with all this glitter and promise of pleasure, but it's empty. Behind it all is abject poverty. There's nothing rich about it. There's the promise of love and of comfort. But there's only discomfort and death. Lady Folly's no different today. She promises pleasure in a picture or an encounter, but leaves you hollow and empty with nothing but guilt and shame. Don't be led astray, my son, my daughter. Don't be led astray with her so-called promises of pleasure. The fourth snare that she uses is smooth and enticing words. In verses 19 through 21, she attempts to reassure the young man that All is well at home. It's safe. No one will notice. My husband's gone. He'll return at the appointed time. I know exactly when he's coming home. Did you notice she has no regard for her own marriage, which God hath instituted? She has no regard for the eye of God over her, that He sees what's going on. Her smooth words are no match for this simple young man. With her much fair speech, we read in verse 21, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Lady Folly comes in the same way. No one will notice. Do it behind closed doors in the darkness of the night. When your spouse is gone. Behind that smoothness, though, is death. There's a sharp sword drawn to bring you down to hell and to death. Let me warn you this morning. All the sensuality of the world has no place for marriage as it's designed by God in its glory and its beauty. Lady Folly seeks to reassure you that all is well, but we need to remember that we leave a digital footprint wherever we go. And if we're good at erasing that, we need to remember that God will always see us. He is the judge. He will bring it to light, whether we like it or not. So behind this strange woman, we see the power of sin against the seventh commandment. It's not any different today than it's pictured here. Except to say that the ease with which one engages it is much more pronounced. Because we carry our phones in our pockets. But what happens? What happens when there's this young man who's coming close to the edge and Lady Folly comes up to meet him? What does she do? Can the young man pull back in time? No, she grabs hold of him and she pulls him down with her. What's the picture here? Let me say it plainly. It's the pit of hell that comes up. That comes up to take us. If we are engaged in sexual sin this morning, it takes us down to its depths. If we do not break with it, if we do not find forgiveness and cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ, it leads to sorrow. That's what's clear here. Speaks of the personal effects upon this young man. It says nothing of broken relationships and damage caused in other people. It says nothing about the long-term effects upon the brain, upon the mind, upon the soul. In terms of human relationships. But there's sorrow, and that's reflected in his mindless submission. Verses 22 and 23 give us a vivid picture of the effects of her deadly snares. There's no protest. The young man doesn't even fight. He goes straightway. He goes down with her. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, he willingly goes down to death. He willingly puts on the chains of perversion, of sin, and he goes with her. He will go like a bird flying into the snare, thinking that the bird can get something of that meat that's there to bait it and get out of the snare free. But he does not know that it is for his life. His mindlessness is scary, isn't it? What sorrow, though, is in store for those who think they can take the bait without getting caught. Who can take fire into the bosom and think that they cannot be burned. Who walk close to the edge as possible and without thinking they will be dragged down. The conclusion is clear. The end of verse 23, he knoweth not that it is for his life. His mind is so fogged by the promise of pleasure, he follows mindlessly. He's hooked. He's in. We could say he's addicted. And that reminds us, doesn't it, of the effects of pornography on the brain. More addictive than cocaine. Studies show that it actually alters neural pathways in the brain, alters the way we think. It numbs the mind, changes the mind. But if that's scary, it also alters the soul and numbs the soul. That's what we see in verses 24 through 26. Implicit in the warning of verse 24 and 25 is the warning that spiritual destruction awaits those who follow after lady folly, who follow after perversion. If you're living in any violation of the seventh commandment, whether it's viewing pornography, living in an illicit relationship, or perverting marriage, there's only spiritual destruction in store if you remain unrepentant. Oftentimes, those who have succumbed to sin have a warped spiritual and moral compass. Their souls and consciences have been seared. His understanding is darkened. His heart is blinded. He is past feeling, Paul describes, and given himself over to uncleanness. That's what the Ephesians were before. Ephesians 4, verse 18 and 19. That's what Romans 1, verse 18 to 32 reminds us of. A numbing of the mind, a searing of the conscience, a being given over to all forms of uncleanness. Deadness and leanness in the soul. Spiritual destruction is the end result. I say this for your warning. Not to scare you, but to warn you. Verse 26, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Destruction. Reduced to nothing. Because of a seventh commandment that has been violated. Let me say it again. Be on your guard against lady folly in all her forms. And then in the final analysis, there is the final and irreversible effect of her snares. The epitome of sorrow, hell, and death. Verse 27 in this chapter is presented to us like a blazing neon sign at the edge of the cliff. Danger ahead. Danger ahead. Danger ahead. Her house is not the house of pleasure. Her house is the way to hell. Going down to the chambers of death. I can't say it any clearer than that this morning. The story couldn't end more grimly for us, could it? The simple young man, strong ones before him, have been taken down the pathway to that house, to hell and to death. Jesus' message is clear. Matthew 5, you look, you lust, you lose. And what does he say then? He says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. There is that looking and lusting and losing. But he says, if our right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Radical amputation has to take place if we're engaged in this sin. Pluck out the eye that offends us. Put up blockades against Lady Folly. If your right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Jesus' message is the same. His warning is the same. You say, well, that's a grim picture. Is there no hope? Is there no help for those who are engaged in sins against the seventh commandment? There is another voice. There is a voice that drowns out the loud and boisterous words of the strange woman of Lady Folly. It's the voice of wisdom. It's the voice of Christ. He's been speaking to us all along this morning already. It's not me. It's his word. It's wisdom speaking to us. It's wisdom warning us. It's wisdom wooing us this morning. It's wisdom who teaches us how to live in this world. The voice of Christ, speaking in the midst of darkness and perversity of a broken seventh commandment. Listen. Listen to his voice. As you've already heard it this morning, as you hear it again, listen to what he says, unto you, O men, I call. Young or old, man or woman, engage in this sin or not, he calls to you. Unto you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. A few verses into chapter 8, that's what we read. Listening to that voice is the beginning of the remedy for sins against the seventh commandment. The first safeguard against this sin is to repent of it, to change your mind about it, to see the death behind it and the daggers within it. If you're like this simple young man mindlessly following after Lady Folly, the voice of wisdom says, repent. Verse 25, repentance is spoken of in this way. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. If that's the way you've been going, don't go down that road anymore. Go down the path of righteousness. Follow the commands of God. Let them guide you and lead you. Here is a clear call to turn from sexual sin. This is the beginning of the hope that is set before us in turning back from this devastating and deadly sin. Because if we repent, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. His blood cleanses from all unrighteousness. We've seen that his blood cleanses from all the other six commandments to this point. What makes this commandment different in that respect? Nothing. Because there is a fountain open for all uncleanness. For those who turn from sin to Christ. It's not just remorse because you've been found out. Repentance evidences a godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7 speaks of the godly sorrow that works repentance. And Paul writes, he says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." And here are the effects of godly sorrow, which leads and which works repentance. He says in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 7, "For behold, the selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sorrow, after a godly sort." And here are the effects: what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. That's the effects of that godly sorrow that leads to repentance. That's what repentance looks like. Carefulness in regards to the seventh commandment, in keeping it, in preserving it, in preserving ourselves with purity, clearing of ourselves, going to Christ, pleading for His cleansing blood to cover us and so be cleared in the sight of God. To be indignant against this sin as we find it in our lives, to root it out, to give it no place. Mortify therefore your members, Paul says. It produces fear. I don't want to go back to that sin because of what it does. There's vehement desire after righteousness. I want to do what pleases my Lord. There is zeal to live for God. There is revenge against sin. To be cleared in this matter, to stand before the judgment seat of God and to say, "I stand in the righteousness and in the blood of Christ." That is my hope. That's the only hope that I set before you this morning. Listen how Solomon instructs his son. He says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart." So there's this repentance. And along with that repentance comes a refocusing on the Word of God. Here's another safeguard handed to us by God in His mercy, His own Word. It's like the safety glasses that you put on. As I was listening to a sermon on this passage, the pastor was sharing of a friend who was working without safety glasses on, and something got into his eye and he lost his eyesight. Just before that, he was approached about insurance regarding his eyes, and he rejected the insurance and went ahead and worked without safety glasses and lost his eye. The Word of God is the safety glasses, as it were, not only of our eyes, but of our hearts. It's a safeguard. And if we're honest with ourselves, we say that the slide into sexual sin can almost always be traced back to a decline in how we have handled the Word of God. We've taken the glasses off. We've let the guard down. And so rather than being distracted more in the digital age with all our devices and gadgets and technology, this emphasizes for us even more the need to be in the Word of God. The only way to guard ourselves against sin is to store up the Word of God so that in times of temptation we are ready with the sword of the Spirit so we can answer the daggers of the strange woman. Keep my commandments as the apple of your eye. This ought to be our focus. We've come through seven commandments. Keep them at the forefront of your spiritual vision. When it comes to our hands and feet, which would wander in both the real and virtual world, bind the law of God, as it were, upon your fingers. If you go to Israel or find an Orthodox Jew, you'll find that they take this literally. It's a frontlet upon their head. They bind it on their heads and they bind it on their arms. As you're sitting behind your keyboard, look at your fingers and be reminded, the Word of God is my only protection. The solution for guarding a wandering heart is to write the Word of God upon the tablets of our hearts. To etch it there, so that we will not forget it, to keep the guard up. This is what the psalmist learned in Psalm 119. He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Don't underestimate the memorization of the Word of God. It can come back to you in an instant when faced with temptation. Don't underestimate the daily reading of the Word of God. It might not seem to have effect on that day, but when faced with temptation, who knows what will come back in what you've read. Refocus on the Word of God. Unite with wisdom. Let wisdom be your friend, your spouse. Here, wisdom is personified as well as Christ. She calls to the foolish, to the simple. She calls us to turn into her home this morning so we might be instructed and receive life and protection. Christ says in Proverbs 8, verse 14, as wisdom, He says, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." You want to break with sin? Here is hope and help for the brokenness and devastation of sexual sin. A living relationship with wisdom. Solomon says, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman." What's he saying here? This is strange language to us, but it's language of intimacy in the Middle East. This language was reserved for a spouse, for a wife. The emphasis here is you need to be married to Christ. You need to be married to wisdom. You need to cultivate an intimate relationship by being in that Word, by communing with Him. It's the only relationship that will preserve you and keep you from Lady Folly and deal with this grievous sin. In a virtual world of relationships and promised intimacy, there is one relationship that matters, that will guard you from destruction. That's what Solomon says. "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." That relationship comes to repentance, as we've seen. Trusting in the blood of Christ. Walking in wisdom's ways. Keeping the commandments of God. Looking to Christ. That's your strength against sin. No other source of strength will do, ultimately. But there is one more thing that will safeguard us. In this chapter, we see how important accountability is. Though Christ is our strength, He gives us the body, doesn't He? The church. We're part of one another. We're here to help one another, to encourage one another, to hold one another accountable. That's what we see here. The young man goes down to the house of a strange woman. He lacks wisdom. He's among simple and foolish youths. He doesn't seek accountability of wise and godly people. He's keeping company with simple ones, with other ones who are devoid of understanding. Doesn't help him any. But the key, one of the keys to overcoming sin against the seventh commandment is accountability. Lasting victory comes in the form of submitting yourself to a godly person whom you trust. So they know where you're going online. It means installing filters and accountability software. It means walking in integrity when you're online. So they can help you to guard your hands and your feet and your heart. Your pastors, your office bearers, other godly men and women here are here to help you in this area. Don't despise this help that God gives to us. Because ultimately, lone rangers fighting alone will be dead rangers. That's clear from this sad story, isn't it? Lady Folly is a powerful enemy. She speaks loudly. She brings to death. But there is a voice that speaks louder yet. There is one who is far more powerful than Folly. His name is Christ. Wisdom has the final say. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children. Attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Amen. Lord, we pray that thy word would take its due course amongst us this morning. Thy spirit would take it. That by grace we would appropriate thy word and apply it to our own lives. Lord, we've heard it clearly. Help us to obey it now. To glorify thee. Thou wilt save us from death and from destruction. Lord, help us. We are insufficient for these things. We are insufficient in dealing with these things ourselves. We are insufficient in counseling on these issues. But thy word speaks. And so let thy word have preeminence this morning. Throughout the rest of our lives, we thank thee for the voice of wisdom, for the voice of our beloved, who speaks, and who calls, and who woos. Help us to heed thy voice, O Lord. Lord, we do pray also for Dr. Beakey and Mary as they travel. Please be with our brother as he preaches in England today. Bless his ministry there. Bring them back home safely to us. We thank thee too for bringing Pastor Alsout safely back from China. We thank thee for his ministry there. Lord, we do look forward to hearing of our brothers and sisters there who hunger for thy word, who hunger for the reformed faith, who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Lord, we remember them as bound with them, as persecuted with them. Also thy people in Iraq and this week facing so much pressure, intimidation, and acts of horror which we cannot describe. Lord, preserve them. Keep them faithful. Keep us faithful, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.